So welcome to Sabbath, and get your Messianic Shabbat Siddur if you have one. And if you don't, it's okay. You can listen and pray along, and preferably look at the slides, which we use during the live broadcast. It gives you a chance to learn Biblical Hebrew. So let us begin traditionally with the shofar. We will say this prayer together first, if you're able to see it on the slide. Sound the great shofar for our freedom and raise a banner to gather our exiles and unite us together from the four corners of the earth. Blessed are you, O Lord, who gathers the scattered of his people. And that is the purpose of this broadcast. It's to gather together the exiles and those that are already on the land, that is Israel, to praise the Lord together, celebrate the creation story of Shabbat, because this is an appointed time for all nations. Can I get an amen? So let us listen to the shofar and gather ourselves together in a spirit of holiness, set apart from the rest of the week. Let us think about the Lord and all of the good things that he does for us, his children. So thank you again for joining us. And I am Psalmist Devorah Cohen. And tonight, before we begin our teaching, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Blessed be your name, O great God of Israel, the great I am, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers, and you are ever mindful to watch over your word to perform it. So all the more reason for us to meditate on your word day and night, so that when we speak your word, and you are there listening. Thank you, Father, that you bring your children from all corners of the earth to come together in this broadcast and celebrate praises in your most holy name. The name of Yeshua. Amen. So this is the praise and worship segment. And if you have missed the previous broadcast, I encourage you to go to the podcast entitled When I'm 64, because yes, I am this year. I never thought I'd make it this far. And as I get into this teaching, you'll know why I'm saying that. But you can find When I'm 64 podcast on iTunes or online podbean.com as well as podomatic.com. And the earlier teachings on praise and worship in this series were very strong, speaking against the Greek mindset of what some people perceive as praise. It's not entertainment. It's not sitting back and listening to a great singer. The Word of God says that we will enter into the Lord's house with praise and thanksgiving already in our hearts before we come into the house, which means you don't need a praise leader to get you revved up after all. The Word of God says to stir yourselves up in your most holy faith. It does not say get somebody else to stir you up. It says, stir yourself up. Can I get an amen? All right, so let's get into the teaching. But the hour is coming. This is scripture in John 4:23. And now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father, Abba Yah, is seeking such to worship him. And that's why we're here together tonight. So God bless you all for being here. I am not guarding or looking at the chat box this evening. I encourage you to leave your comments, but being a one-man show, per se, here, it would be too much for me to try to do the chat box and all this other stuff I've got going on that the rabbi usually does. We are designed to worship God in spirit and in truth. As Yeshua spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well, he sought to help her do this by imparting to her God's living water. Yeshua sought out this woman personally to give her abundant life. In the same way, the Father seeks an encounter with each of us that is real and personal. The Samaritan woman had heard about God. Yeshua said, true worship must be face to face with the Father. Amen. So worship is not religion or ritual. Worship is an intimate and vital encounter with a spiritual being, the Father. True worship includes the full recognition of who God is, holy, sovereign, almighty, loving, and merciful. This recognition brings about the realization of our own sinfulness. True worship is life-changing. You know, when you're in the presence of the Father, somebody's going to be changing, and it's going to be us. It creates within the worshiper a hatred for sin. So if you're having a problem with a certain sin and you don't hate it, well, you need to go back into the oven and get yourself refined a little bit more and stir up that dross and let it come to the top like it does when you're refining gold and scoop off the stuff that is sin and clean yourself. There are no secret sins with God. If you think you're hiding your sins from God, you're sadly mistaken, as I once was, and I will tell you about it. Let me share my story as a believer who used to think I could hide my sin from God. Now, I don't know where I get that idea, but you know, when we're carnally minded, we come up with all kinds of ways to do things that we should not. Some of you may know that I used to be in a rock band in the 80s. That lifestyle lends itself to sin and rebellion, even in Christ. If Christ is at the center of your life and you're living that lifestyle, I've seen many praise singers living a double life. Now, these are not rock singers per se, although they do have Christian rock bands or Jewish rock bands. But if you are living the lifestyle of secular rock and roll, as I once was in the 80s, that means as a believer or trying to obey God's commands, you've got one foot in the world and the other foot in the church or synagogue. And that's the way that I used to live as a Christian in the 90s in Nashville, Tennessee. My music career had gone from rock to blues, and I was singing about my sorry, mixed-up life as a babe in Christ. I was really divided without realizing that I was causing it myself in my behavior. Did you know that adults, even older adults, can still be babes in Christ, still existing on what the Bible calls the milk of the word? Maybe you know somebody. And this is due in part because they do not practice their faith, nor do they cultivate a deep prayer life. Getting back to my secret story, as I was daily listening to Joyce Meyer's teachings in the 90s, and some of you may have heard of her, I learned that my soul was not renewed at salvation. Only my spirit was quickened in Christ. This helped me to understand that our souls are renewed by what we put on in our minds. The Word of God says, put on the mind of Christ. That means you have to think the word to get rid of those nasty thoughts that you used to have before you got saved. I was not yet at a place where I hated fornication. That was my secret sin. I justified this sin. And some of you, I've had many conversations, especially with men that want to tell me fornication is just something they used to do in the old pagan temples. No, let me tell you what. Fornication means having sex outside of marriage. If you're not in a covenant relationship, man and wife, I'm talking about, and you're having sex outside of the covenant, you are sinning. It's called fornication. So I was not at a place yet after salvation where I hated it. I justified this sin by saying that someday I'd get married to this man that I was partaking of in the sin. But that thinking is not from God. That's temptation in action. So I had to surrender to this sin, which many of you listening know is a powerful force that can only be broken by true repentance. Saying you're sorry for getting caught is not enough. Your teshuvah in Hebrew, which means turning back to God, must be followed by a change in behavior, which means you stop fornicating or whatever your secret sin may be. If you just give the Lord lip service and try to fool him and say, I'm really sorry, and then you keep doing it, no, you're not really sorry. You may be sorry you get caught, but you're really not sorry, repentance sorry. If you don't know what sin is as a believer, then you're on the milk of the word and have not yet read the book of 1 Corinthians 5. And it also spells it out in the Torah if you have graduated to the books that were taught by Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Many members of the Church of Corinth believed that because Jesus had come, sexual matters were no longer significant. Does that sound familiar? Paul, Apostle Paul or Shaul, was so grieved by some in this particular congregation that he penned a letter that is now lost to us, sometimes called his sorrowful letter. He lists the sins that the church were engaging in, which is forbidden by God. In verse 11 of chapter 5, he addresses the sins to the believers. Fornication, covetousness. Means you want something that somebody else has and you just really, really gotta have it. Idolater, that's anything that you spend more time with than God. Reviler, drunkard, or a swindler. These are all sins, and I was guilty of the first one, fornication. The Word of God says that the wages of sin is spiritual death, which results in a hardened heart. You just don't physically die. Your heart becomes hardened and you lose sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you know someone who talks a good talk, but behind closed doors, they're living in sin. The worst part is for that believer to be so steeped in his or her sin that he or she no longer sees it as sin, but justifies it, or ignores it, or makes excuses for it. Or blame someone else for it. It's her fault. You know, you notice how some men, I'm not getting on the men bashing wagon, but you know, some men, it's her fault. She made me do it. But if you do read the book of Proverbs in their defense, there's a lot of scripture in the book of Proverbs that talks about the seducing woman. Beware of the seducing woman. So, you know, ladies, you're accountable for your behavior. I had to go through deliverance counseling to remove the affliction of lust. For those of you who are struggling with secret sin and can't seem to be set free, there is something called Karvenu, with a capital K, that can help you. That's K-A-R-V-E-N-U. And if you want to have more information about Karvenu, which is sort of like trying to cleanse yourself from sins that you can't seem to get rid of on your own, you can go online and research Karvenu at the following website, www.sukkotshalom, sukka.us. That's www.sukkatshalom.us. But God did not send me to Carvano. Instead, he sent me a musical dream. The first song I ever heard in my sleep was in the 90s while I was in that blues band in Nashville. I woke up around 4 a.m. and grabbed a pen and my guitar and started writing the words to this music I was hearing in my sleep. And this song became my song of repentance. And this is when I truly made teshuvah, turning away from that sinful lifestyle that is rampant among today's believers. That song was called, it is called, My Tainted Heart. And it is on my debut CD under my former name, Delilah Clark, which is another story. I thought I was honoring my grandmother by taking on her name on stage, but I got a lot of jokes when I would go to the churches and try to sing there, and they say, oh, you're Delilah, where's Samson? And that got old real fast. So anyway, so you can find this CD. It's called Wildly Innocent, and there I am on the front cover if you're watching at age 22, yes, in the rock and roll band, Living Like the World. So you can get this CD, let's see, where can you, iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, Spotify, or in most online stores. And if you really see inside, I've got a story. Every song on this CD is talking about coming out of the darkness. So I'm not proud of the person I used to be, but I can talk about that person because I'm not that person anymore, because God has given me his set-apart spirit, the Holy Spirit, and I've made choices to live for him instead of for myself and the world. If you would like this CD and you don't have the money, let's say, to buy it, if you send me an email, drop me a message, I will send you a link where you can download all of these songs for free. Just contact me and I will send you the link, because this is a testimony CD. So that's Delilah Clark is my maiden name. Now let's see. The significant part of me telling my story is this. I was a babe in Christ at that time and thought I was hiding my sin from God. As the chorus line in that song, My Tainted Heart, I wrote when I heard that music from the heavens, and the words are, if I tell you who I really am, would you stay inside my tainted heart? Are you kidding me? I really thought God didn't know what was inside of my heart. I'm like, where was I? I was lost. That's where I was. I was that Samaritan woman at the well that night when God came to me in a dream. What a merciful God we have. Revealed sin is not to shame you. It is your decision. It's time to choose life or death. Now, true worship results in repentance, obedient submission, and a desire for holiness, according to Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. True worship generates a desire to show mercy and to express forgiveness. It includes a joyful acceptance of all that God has provided by his grace. True worship is not exclusive. Just as the Samaritan woman rushed off to tell others, and as I have told you of our encounter with the Lord, so true worship will compel the worshiper to include others. As a result of this woman's encounter with Yeshua, many others from her village came to know him as well. And I pray that my story compels some of you listening to make that choice for life. The one who has truly worshiped will have a sense of peace and a confident expectation of what God is about to do. True worship produces a transformed life, reflecting the one who has been worshipped. Let us pray together and ask God to accept our request for forgiveness from Psalm 55:10. And this is in Hebrew, Lev Tahor, which means a clean heart. Please pray with me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And in Hebrew, if you want to try it with me, Lev Tahor Berali Elohim Veruach Nakon Chadesh Bekirbi. Thank you, Father, for your mercy endures forever. And remember, we have to hate the sin, but not the sinner. Thank you for listening to this teaching. I pray that it touched you in a very special way. And so now that we have asked the Lord to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, in the name of Yeshua, let us practice praising the Lord. And if you have your Messianic Shabbat Siddur, which you can get at www.messianicliturgy.com, we'll begin on page 2. If you don't have it, then if you can see these slides on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope.tv, both of those two, the handle is Devorah Cohen 2017, or if you can find me on YouTube, Devorah Cohen, it's live streaming there. All right, so let us, with all of our hearts, praise the Lord. And remember, the Lord wants us to make a joyful noise. He's not going to give you a grade on whether you hit all the notes spot on, okay? All right.
And I thank you for listening to this podcast. This is Psalmist Devorah Cohen. You can join me online every Friday at 7 p.m. Central Time on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope.tv, or YouTube. I thank you for listening. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes, it would be greatly appreciated to write a review for this podcast so we can get the word out there. And I think it would be appropriate to share with you that song that I talked about in this discussion, My Tainted Heart. I'd like to share the song with you. The very first song I wrote to God was a song of repentance. Listen to the words carefully and understand how broken my heart really was, how confused I was to think that I could hide my secret sin from God, and how truly repentant I was to the point of wanting to change and turn back to God. May we all turn back to God and join Him together, united as one Commonwealth of Israel with one book of instruction, the Torah.
Out of the blue you came, like a thief in the night, looking through eyes of shame. Alone. just hold me, take me into your arms. If I tell you be happenstance, oh.